Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're the hungry group tonight. Amen. Ready for the word. Glory to God. You know, it took me, I think it took me about 5 years when we first started coming to church to realize the importance of midweek services. But praise the Lord, midweek services are important too. Amen. We don't just do them because we need something else to do, but we do them because we want to grow closer to the Lord and learn more and go to deeper levels, amen. And you know, the thing that I love is just being in that presence, in the place where God has called us to be. We'll always do things in our lives, even things that we don't know. You know, you might not feel like things are changing, but one thing I've learned in my life is that things are always changing when we connect to the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord. Just recently, I got to spend some time with my pastor, and I look forward to those opportunities. I don't get to sit in all the services anymore, but I do endeavor to be with him often, praise the Lord. And one of the things that I just love about being in the presence of who God has connected me with is that whenever I am, there's answers, amen. There's things that have been dogging me that will be broken off my life. And once we learn to recognize that, it stirs you more and it makes you want to be part of it more. Amen. You know, there's out of any given church, there's a group of people that will sit in the church and they won't receive much of anything. But praise the Lord, you're not those people. You're the ones that are going to receive and continue to receive. And I know that it sounds like something that we could just be saying, but I honestly have seen the change in my life. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. Just thanking the Lord even this afternoon for my pastor and his pastor and the other connections, because it keeps us safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the family churches aren't built on just man's desire or man's ideas, but we're built on the direction and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, that's the most important way that you can build anything, you know. The Bible says in Psalm 127, 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And, of course, that can apply to many areas, many factions of life. But that applies to the local church too, amen. And so we know that, you know, there can be a lot of churches to choose from. There can be a lot of churches sometimes, you know, in any given area. I think down in Corey, the last count we had was probably over 70 churches in that area. But that doesn't mean that all churches necessarily follow the Holy Ghost. And we're not coming against those against churches, but I'm just saying that not every church is a place where you're going to get fed. And so knowing where you're connected is so important. But you know, when you know where you're connected, then you also know that the feeding that you're getting is custom tailored for your life, amen. And so the direction of the Holy Ghost that comes through the pulpit, you know, when I seek the Lord based on what the people need, amen, what the people need to hear, and times, you know, of course, what God is dealing with me on too. And, you know, that's how the messages come out. And so we have to understand that it's a supernatural thing that happens in this pulpit all the time. And it's not because I'm anything special. It's because the Lord is certainly wonderful. Amen. And so I get excited for that. I get excited for what he wants to do. And tonight's message is no less one of those things. Actually, the message was birthed out of a conversation that I had with some congregation members. But, you know, out of that, sometimes just when, and it was with congregation members that are hungry. And so they, you know, the congregation members that are hungry are ones that will draw on that gift. They don't just want to know about the weather, the pastor's favorite color, but when they sit with them, they draw on that gift. They have spiritual questions. They have things that they want to know more about, amen. And of course, we endeavor to encourage people always along those lines. Well, in that conversation, there were some things that started coming out of my spirit that I hadn't prepared, of course. And then as they did, I was like, ooh, that's really good. That's really important. And then, of course, the Lord, as I was preparing for this service here, that the Lord magnified those things and gave me a sermon based on them. And so we're going to see some things in here. You know, one of the things I'm going to be talking tonight about is we're going to be talking about sowing. We're going to talk about sowing good seed into good ground and all those types of things. Amen. But I'm not just going to be talking about the idea of sowing money or finances. Of course, that would be included in it. But we're going to be talking about the principles of sowing, and actually more the, I would say, the attitude behind it, why we do what we do. You know, with God, when you look at anything that Jesus dealt with, it was always dealing with the heart of man. Every single thing he dealt with, everything with God is dealing with the hearts of men. He doesn't care about sacrifice. He doesn't care about judgment as much as he cares about mercy, as much as he cares about the heart of the people. Amen. God is a heart God. And so therefore, everything that we do must come from the heart. It must be something that we desire to do for the right reasons. Even ministry, even in ministry, you think, well, you're a pastor, you're serving God, you're doing these things. But even in ministry, we can be distracted by things that aren't God. We can be distracted by numbers. We can be distracted by growth. We could be distracted by absolutely anything. So all of these things have to be heart issues. Our hearts have to be right before God when we deal with these things. But even more so, the congregation members need to have the same understanding that, you know, when we give, we need to give for the right purpose. We need to give with the right purpose. You know, the Bible says, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. Now, again, those scriptures found in 2 Corinthians 9, around verse 8 in that area, is dealing with the idea of giving money. But really, the way we can look at it is whenever we give of ourselves, I mean, whether we're giving financially, whether we're serving in the local church, whether we're helping somebody out on the street, whether we're just being kind to somebody, that's a form of giving on some level. It's always us giving. And God has a heart to give. God is a giver. And so our hearts should be to give as well. Now, that giving does not ever need to be limited. I always look for areas, and I've learned this over the years, but I always look for areas where I can be a giver. And it doesn't matter whether it's of my time, whether it's of my, sometimes it's just in something so small that it wouldn't even seem that it matters. You know, sometimes, deal with my household, as I deal with my, my own family, I just look for areas to give, to sow into them, you know. Sometimes it's something as simple as, I never cared much about making the bed, but my wife, it means something to her. And as I've learned, it's a good thing that you make your bed. Amen. Reverend Tony Jones, Dad Jones, as I like to call him. I call him Dad. He's my, praise the Lord, he's my father. Praise the Lord. I look at him that way, and he refers to me as son, and I refer to him as Dad. It's, I don't know if you know him. He's the worship leader in Jamestown. Praise the Lord. To look at us, we wouldn't naturally look like we would be father and son. Praise God. But it works out for us. Glory to God. But he was recently preaching in Jamestown, and one of the things he said was, make your bed. He said it's a way to accomplish something first thing in the morning, and then you've started your day out with accomplishment. And I know it sounds funny, but every morning when I wake up now and I hop out of bed, I think about that. And so I also think about my wife, but I just do something like that. And I'm not preaching a message about making your bed or keeping your room picked up or any of these things, but I'm saying, find something that blesses somebody else and have a heart to do it. Amen. Especially those who are hard to deal with. Amen. You will speak more about your heavenly Father. And we have found this, and so much more so. I could go into great detail about it, but I don't want to sit here speaking about me all night. But we have found so many examples when we just have a heart for people, a heart to give. Man, it just changes the atmosphere of things. And you can make people that hate you love you. Just by being kind, and it doesn't even take much. That's the sad thing, is that it's so strange and foreign to people that just being truly kind, amen? Praise the Lord. You decide that you want to be a blessing, act on it, and all heaven will back you up. And this is one of the first principles that I want you to understand, is that, the Bible says that faith without works is dead, and of course we need to prove our faith by our works. But when we endeavor to be givers, when we decide to be givers, it's not just enough to sit there and say, I want to be a giver. That's great. That's a great first step. But that is a very basic step, and it doesn't go very far until you do something with it. You can't say that I want to be a giver and then do nothing and then expect that you could be labeled a giver. It'll never happen. You have to be someone who decides to give, somebody who decides to put out in that thing, whatever it is. Again, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about anything. But wherever you decide that you want to sow, praise the Lord, you need to act on it. Once you act on it, heaven will always back you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've found that, as I give financially, if I give money to somebody, even if I give the last amount that's in my wallet, it always comes back to me. I always have. It's like a boomerang. Giving is like a boomerang effect in the faith world. Amen. As we give, as we're kind to others, as we sow these things, whatever it is we're sowing, it comes back to us, and it comes back to us always in greater measure than it went out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we're going to start over here in Galatians 3. Praise God. We're going to start over here in Galatians 3. Good place to start. Praise the Lord. Verse 29. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:29. It says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Praise the Lord. So if we are Christ, if we belong to Christ, then by default, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, that's an interesting scripture. And of course, if we don't have much understanding about what it is to be Abraham's seed, we're not going to really understand the scripture. That's why it's important to understand what Abraham's seed is. Abraham is, the great father in the faith. He's used many times throughout scripture. Glory to God. And the Jews know all about being Abraham's seed because technically they are Abraham's seed. But here, Paul is telling the Galatians and telling us as well that if you are Christ, then that is what makes you Abraham's seed. It's through that faith in Jesus Christ, the faith in the things that he did. And again, living in faith in Jesus Christ is walking out the life that he has for you. Amen. It is imperative. It is so important. And I can't stress this enough. I've stressed it a lot lately in recent times, and I'll continue to stress it, that we have to understand who we are in Christ. If we don't understand who we are, we will not do the things that God has called us to. People are waiting for all kinds of things to happen before they go out and start acting like gods. And the problem with that is it'll never happen. This is what I mean by acting. We must act first, praise the Lord, and heaven comes in and backs us up afterwards. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If Peter had not stepped out of the boat, he would have never walked on water. That's all there is to it. He would have never done it if he would have never stepped out in faith. And so we understand that we have to step out in faith. We have to be ones that decide that we're going to act. We act because we believe. We don't act because we have everything in order yet. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people, when they first get saved, they're like, well, I don't know how to even, I don't need to know how to witness to anybody or to go out. Sure you do. You have a testimony, and that's how you start. Amen. Well, you know, recently we were reading about the madman of Gadara and how Jesus set him free, praise the Lord. And the first thing he told him to do was go out and testify. And that whole area was changed just based on one man's testimony. Do not underestimate the power of testimony. Be excited about your testimony. Do not be ashamed of the things that God is doing. And if something that big has happened, then you start bragging on God about it and watch the things that change. Amen. But we want to see what it is to be Abraham's seed. We want to know what this is. And of course, the scriptures that we're about to get into are a reflection back all the way back to Genesis. Amen. Now, Abraham, this is what we know about Abraham. We know that Abraham believed God even when in the face of absolute impossibility. God promised Abraham a child through his wife Sarah, and then he renamed Abraham, called him, his name was Abram, renamed him Abraham, the father of many nations. Sarah was barren. Abraham was 100, Sarah was in her 90s or something like that, and so we understand that they were well past the age of being able to have children. But the Bible says that Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Praise the Lord. He did not consider the natural circumstance. He only considered what God had him to do. Folks, everybody knows, if you've been in church for more than 15 minutes, any church, and everybody knows the story about Abraham and Sarah. But yet somehow people always miss this fact, the idea that we must believe God. We can't, if we don't trust God, without trusting God, anything is impossible. We aren't going to get anywhere. But with faith, everything is possible. And we know that according to what Jesus said. So we have to get ourselves to the place where we trust God. We believe his word at what he said. Amen? And the only way to prove that we believe what he said is to act on what we believe. And therefore, if you believe that God has set you free, you will act like a free person. If you believe that God will always back you up, you will always be willing to give. You never worry about what you put out because you know that it comes back. You know about the boomerang effect, amen? And so this is the way that Abraham lived. Abraham was the one who initiated the tithe. We see that he did it out of faith. God never even told him to do so, but God thought it was such a good idea after Abraham did it. He said, we're going to make this a law. And so then they made it a law, but Abraham did it first. Why? Because he loved God, because he recognized that he had nothing good except from God. And so he was willing, not just willing, he wanted to give back. He wasn't just willing to do it, but he wanted to do it. He said, I can't wait to put back into what God is doing. Amen. Now, you know, it's easy sometimes when somebody helps us to want to go back and bless them because there's something that will be seen. But so often we forget about our Heavenly Father and that he has created us to live a certain way. We must live according to these principles, because it's these principles that will get the world to see something different. Amen. People want revival. They want amazing miracles. They want all these great things to happen, but they don't understand that it starts with your movement of faith, your trust in God. When you have nothing and you step out and you start moving towards the things of God, that's when your faith is proven. And that's where you qualify yourself or qualify the church to receive mighty miracles. Amen. Praise God. So let's turn now. Let's go back to Genesis 22. We might as well go back and look at this. Praise God. Genesis 22. And where we're picking up is right after. Now, Abraham had this child, right? The child's name was Isaac, or Sarah had him. Abraham had partook to help the process along. And when the boy, I guess, was about 8 years old, roughly, God said, now I want you to go up onto the mountain and I want you to sacrifice this child to me. Praise God. Well, Abraham went about that process and he took the son and, you know, the whole way up the mountain. The son kept asking him, Father, where's the sacrifice? And he just kept telling the son, God will provide. God will provide. Because he knew that God knew that even no matter what he did, because this child was promised to him, that no matter what, he knew that God, at very least, God would raise him up from the dead, because that's how good, he knew how good his God was. Amen. And so we get here up to the mountain, and of course, Abraham has bound Isaac up. He's tied him, put him on the altar, and he's lifting the knife, just about to sacrifice this boy. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord stops him and says, don't do it. We know that you're willing to do it. And then there was a ram over in the thicket, and he went and got the ram and sacrificed the ram. Praise the Lord. And now we pick it up in chapter 22, Genesis 22, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Hallelujah. This is also the name Jehovah Jireh. This is one of the names that we see of God in the Bible. Glory to God. He is Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide, or the Lord our provider. Amen. And so that's where this is first seen. So I love that it says that Abraham called the name of the place the Lord will provide. He put his stake and he said, this is proof to it forever. From here on out, forever, everybody is going to know who comes to this place that the Lord will provide. Amen. He will always provide whatever is needed. As it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants, as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. In your seed, praise the Lord, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What does it say over there in Galatians 3:29? It says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. And heirs according to the promise. And so in this promise given to Abraham, that in his seed all nations of the earth should be blessed. Folks, this is a heavy, heavy, heavy statement. Amen. This is God promising to Abraham that anybody who is his seed shall be a blessing to the entire earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Christians so often they don't realize the weight of this. They don't understand the truths that are found in this. To be a blessing to the earth means that we are to bless the earth, that all nations of the earth are supposed to be blessed just because we are there. Amen. Now, this is not a metaphorical blessing. This is not just saying, well, because they're present, you're blessed by their presence. But no, we understand that when things are truly blessed, praise the Lord, that things change. You know, I love and I hate the old-time religion idea of being blessed. It says, oh, you're blessed, or bless you, or whatever. And nothing ever really changes in life, right? Somebody says, bless you, and you're not even really that much better off. Maybe your life is terrible and someone says, oh, bless you. Actually, you know, the Bible talks about that. It says if you just say be warm and filled and you send someone on their way without giving them the things that they need to be warm and filled, the Bible calls that no faith at all. It says that that's wrong. We cannot be people who are just saying like that, and that's the way a lot of religious people are, unfortunately. They say, oh, be blessed, and they don't even really know what it is to be blessed. No, when the Bible talks about blessing, the one who is blessed knows it. I say when the Bible talks about blessing, the one who's blessed knows it. Do you know you're blessed? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't really fully know that you're blessed, praise the Lord, the world isn't going to know that you're blessed. How do you know that you're blessed? How do you exhibit that you know you're blessed? Well, it comes out in your actions. It comes out in your mouth. It comes out in the things that you're willing to do. If I'm willing to do whatever God has called me to do, regardless of how it looks, it doesn't really matter. Praise the Lord. Then I'm blessed. I exhibit that I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. Most of the things that God will have us do, we will do in the face of absolute horrible obstacles sometimes. Things that will completely try to, the devil isn't just going to open the door and say, come on in. He doesn't want us to know that we're blessed. He doesn't want us to take back the world. But see, the problem is that Christians that don't know they're blessed, that don't realize they're blessed, that are waiting for the blessing. You understand what I'm saying? If you are waiting for the blessing to happen, then you don't know that you're blessed. If you are waiting for the provision to happen before you believe that you're provided for, then you don't know you're blessed. And if you don't know you're blessed, then the world certainly cannot know that it's blessed. It cannot know that you're blessed, amen? We have to walk big, talk big, because we are big. And we're not big because of us. We're big because of who our God is. We're big because of who backs us up, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, there's many examples in faith. There's many examples in life of people who have stepped out against insurmountable odds, and all of a sudden things change. Well, those are the people that see things. Actually, if you look through the Great Faith chapter, it was all people who were facing odds that were contrary to their circumstance. All their odds said that they couldn't do it. All their odds said they wouldn't win. All their odds said that, you know, when the Israelites were marching around Jericho, praise the Lord. Everything in that said that those walls were going to stay right where they were. People were ridiculing them and laughing at them and throwing things at them and insulting them and all those things because these guys are just marching around. But they're doing what the Lord said to do. Praise the Lord, even though it doesn't look like anything's going to change. Folks, we have to do the same thing. We have to live in such a way that we are always moving forward in faith no matter what it looks like, no matter what's coming against us. Praise God. Do you have a situation that arises in your life that keeps you from moving forward in the things that you know you're called to do? Do you have situations that rise in your life when you have a decision in your heart, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to do this. And then you start heading this way to do that, and then all of a sudden, there's opposition from everywhere. It looks like, and you start asking yourself, did I even hear from God? Well, of course you heard from God. But again, the devil isn't going to just let you walk in and take it. The devil doesn't just look at us and say, oh, they call themselves Christians. I better step back. That's not what he does. Do you know the devil spends more time in churches than most Christians do? Yeah. Absolutely, he shows up and he's listening too. He's listening to the words that you get when hands are laid on you and somebody prophesies over you and gives you that great word for the future. You don't think the devil's listening to that? And you don't think that the devil wants to look at you and say, I'm going to see if they actually believe it. That's exactly when you read about Jesus, when you read about the temptation that Jesus went through, praise the Lord, especially in the 40 days of trial. You know, I was reading, I was studying that this afternoon. It's not going to be part of this message other than what I talk about right now. It's found over in Luke 4, at least that's one place it's found. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that he went through 40 days. Now, we look at the temptation. Well, a lot of times we read that account and we say, well, Jesus went through all these. He had these certain trials. And the Bible says what trials he went through. But the Bible says actually says, if you read it carefully, it says that he went through 40 days of trial, 40 days of testing. The devil was testing him 40 days to see if he. Now, you remember, this was right after Jesus. He got baptized by John. Praise the Lord. And as he got baptized and he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven like a dove and fell on Jesus. And they heard a voice from heaven that says, this is my son, praise the Lord, in whom I'm well pleased. Praise God, hallelujah. And this mighty, awesome, wonderful thing. Man, that was a good church service, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. And then immediately the Holy Spirit leads him to the wilderness. Immediately, the Holy Spirit leads him to a place where he's going to be tested. Now, we know in James that the Holy Spirit, that God doesn't test people. We know that that's not God's job. That's not what he does. But we do know that the devil tests people. And that's exactly what happened. He was tempted and tested in the wilderness. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So I don't know about you, but it makes me hungry just thinking about fasting. Praise the Lord. I don't even have to do it for an afternoon to know that I don't want to do it. But Jesus was, and the devil was screaming at him the whole time through his flesh, and he was trying to keep him from going into what he was called to do. So the devil always shows up when something good, when a word is given, when something important is going to happen. We're gonna do this, and it's easy, praise the Lord, to get people stirred up and excited. For example, when we started Corey, man, when I first announced it, you could get people really excited really quickly. But what about 3 years into it? Are people still as excited about it as they were back then? Well, you can ask yourself if I've been still excited about it by my actions. I don't mean me, I mean you. Ask yourself, do you act the same way you did about it when that was first the direction? Because 3 years in isn't any less of direction than it was 3 years prior. It's still the plan and will of God. It's still the direction of God. Well, wait a minute, but it doesn't look like everything that I thought it should look like. You know what I mean? Like you or me or whatever. It doesn't look like everything like I thought it should. You know, I've had a lot of people over the years prophesy things. Glory to God. They prophesied, oh, this will be big or this will be that or this will be this or this will be that. And then all of a sudden the opposition comes and then where are they? They're gone. They're not prophesying anymore. Why? Because their prophecy wasn't based on knowledge. See, anybody can look at something on the onset and get excited about it. A new work, oh man, you can get excited about that. But what about when the labor has got to be put into it? What about when the field's got to be plowed? Anybody can go look at a field and say, man, that's some fertile ground out there. I could grow some crops. Praise the Lord. I could go out there and have me a great and mighty harvest. You can look at that and somebody could give it to you and say, here, I'll even give it to you. And you can go farm that land. And you get really excited about it. But then you got to go out and work that land. You got to go out and pull them weeds. You got to go out and till that ground. Praise the Lord. And when nobody else has been tilling the ground, listen, it's not real easy to go out there and till. But then how about this? How about when you're out there tilling the ground? What if all of a sudden opposition comes? I'm not just talking about quiet. I'm talking about anything, amen? I'm talking about anything God will have us to do that's of any substance, that's worth anything. Anything that God will ever direct you in your life, there will be opposition. But this is what we know. If we don't give up, then the opposition doesn't stand. The opposition can't last as long as you can, a person in faith can. But a person who's not in faith, that's why the opposition comes. Because it comes to see how much faith are you actually in. And it will test your faith to the max. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to keep doing it? Are you willing to keep pressing into what God has for you? Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to know we are the blessed of the Lord. We have to know that we are blessed according to the seed, because we are the seed of Abraham. Because God has made these promises thousands of years ago, and we walk in them today. Folks, when you go to life, you have to know that you're blessed, or you won't stand very long. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, listen, that does not mean that you can't come. Every one of us is going to have opportunities. I have them myself, where we just don't want to stand in faith, where we just have those opportunities where it's like, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know what I'm trying for. I don't even know why I keep pressing for this. Praise the Lord. We all have those moments. But the thing is, do we stay there? That's the key. Can somebody talk you back into it? Can somebody say, stir up that faith which is in you? Is there faith in you to be stirred up? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. We know God's got good things for us, or we say we do, but then we turn around and we deny it by the way that we act about it. Sure, opposition is going to come. Opposition is all kinds of things. It looks like all kinds of things. Opposition, you know, if you decide, if you determine your heart, I'm going to start being a giver in this area. I'm going to start financially giving. Guess what is going to be attacked? Your finances. Do not be surprised. Now, if that attack keeps you from being that giver that you wanted to be, guess what? You just proved you didn't have faith in that. And you just proved that you can't give in that. My wife and I do not give according to what we believe we have. We give according to what's on our heart, as we purpose in our heart. If we purpose in our heart that we want to give, then by God, we're going to give it. Come hell or high water, we are going to do what we have to do to give it. And sometimes I always use this example, or I've used this example in the past. My wife and I decided one year that we were going to give it was the largest offering we've ever given, and we were going to sow it into the building fund of this church. Praise God. And we didn't, and it was on my heart to sow it. I brought it before my wife. She agreed, and it was a huge, especially for us. Even today, it was a huge number. And, you know, I was doing a lot of, we hear in these circles, and I really got to the point where I can't stand this. If you've ever heard somebody say, I'm believing for this, or I'm believing for that, I hate that. I hate that garbage. I hate it. Why? Because the Bible doesn't tell us to sit there believing for our own stuff all the time. God says he'll provide it if you just trust him. So I just get into that realm. Now, there's principles of asking God and stuff like that. But if you spend much time, listen, if you spend more than 5 minutes, I'd say even a week or a month on something that you want, you've already gone too far with it. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, why? Because why you got to spend time on things that God's promised you? Why you got to spend time believing God for things he's promised you? God said, Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6 and read that chapter. Praise the Lord. Go read what Jesus said about it right there. And then go over and see what the Philippians did at the end of 2 Corinthians. And then go into Philippians and actually read verse 4:19, where it says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So go over there. If you spent more than 5 minutes this month, I'm going to say that. If you spent more than 5 minutes worrying about something financially, more than 5 minutes this month, you've already spent too much time on your out of faith. Go over and see what the Bible says. The Bible says he'll provide it. So you don't need to stir yourself up on that. You need to stir yourself up and trust in God, because God will always provide to those who are faithful. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know where all that came from. But, you know, God wants us. He doesn't want us believing for stuff. He doesn't want us. He wants us to just trust him. Just believe God, amen. This idea of believing for stuff, where we use our faith on believing for something. What we're doing a lot of times is we're just using it as an excuse to not fully trust that God's going to bring it. That's what we're doing. What's faith? Faith says, you know, when Jesus, what faith was, you know, Jesus said, "Have faith in God," right? When he cursed the fig tree. When he walked up to the fig tree, he cursed it, and he stood there and he looked at it and watched it. And he stood there and hung around, and they set up a camp, and they had somebody else watching it with him. And he went to Peter and James and John, and he said, "Hey, guys," he's like, "I want you to believe with me that what I said about this tree is actually going to happen." He did that, didn't he? No, he walked away from it, forgot about it. A few days later, Peter says to him, hey, master, that fig tree, you remember that fig tree you cursed? Jesus, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And he said, "Yeah." He said, that "it's gone. It's dead." Well, Jesus knew it was. Why? Because he spoke it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's the same. If we are Christ, then we are the same heirs that Jesus was. We are the same heirs. We are the same seed. Praise the Lord. And so we have to have that same kind of faith. And so we need to build ourselves up until we believe that. Amen. Praise God. I want to bring up Romans 8:28. Glory to God. Of course, this is scripture we know very well. I speak about it probably just about every week. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your purpose in Christ is to be a blessing. Why? Because if we look at the scriptures, if we connect the dots of what we've already read, in us, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And we are that seed. So as we can say in us, praise the Lord, our purpose is to be a blessing. That's what God told him. He said, you'll be blessed. I'll multiply you. But he said, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We are the ones who are supposed to carry God, the knowledge of God, the very presence of God. We are the ones that are supposed to be carrying this to the world. But how does the church look? I'm going to tell you right now, the church is sad. If you looked at the church, most of the church looks like, if you could see the church as a person, it would be feeble, missing half the body parts. It would be broken and defeated. It would be head hung low, because this is how Christians act. Christians are always walking around. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel so defeated. It's just, there's so much opposition that you just, yes, there is. But faith is what gets you out of that. Faith is the joy. Amen. It is the proof that you believe what you believe. That's where the joy is. A lot of people are waiting for joy to fall on them like ripe cherries off a tree, and that's not how joy comes. Praise the Lord. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the byproduct of being spiritual or being one who walks in the Spirit. How do you know if you walk in the Spirit? The byproducts are proof in what you walk in. If you are full of joy, then you're walking in the Spirit. If you're full of anguish, you are not walking in the Spirit. If you're full of peace, you are walking in the Spirit. If you are not full of peace, if you're always worried, if you're always stressed, if you're not just sure what you're going to do, you're not walking in the Spirit. The Spirit knows the heart of God, and the Spirit will lead us into all things. But most Christians are walking around always defeated, and what they don't realize is that those things that they want to come to pass, they are defeated in their defeat. It's the only place it's defeated. What you are waiting to come to pass is only defeated in your defeat. And your feeling of failure, your feeling of can't, your feeling of worry, that's where all of it's defeated. Your answer is in trusting what the Word says, that you are the seed of Abraham, and because of that, you are to be a blessing to all nations. You are to be a blessing to the entire world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The idea of the churches feeding people is not a bad thing. Where does that come in? The knowledge that the church should be doing what the government is so readily excited about taking over. Why? Because the government, when it takes over the things the church is supposed to be doing, guess what happens? People start worshiping that. That's that spirit of socialism. That's where all of that garbage comes from. People worship the government. Oh, we'll worship somebody who will give us everything. That's the way humans are. Instead of worshiping the one who truly does give them everything. But God doesn't give it the same way the world does it. The world will give it. They'll dangle the carrot in front of you until you grab onto it. But see, when the world does that, there's a hook in it. Praise the Lord. It's like the worm on a hook. The fish go after it. They can't help it. See, with God, there's no hook. With God, there's food, and you get to continue to be free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is what God wants. But people don't realize that they are the called according to his purpose. I'm not just called. I am the called. There's a difference between not, you know, it's one thing to be called. It's another thing to be the called. This is what I am. Praise the Lord. Somebody, when you're calling to somebody, they're over there, they're out there, and they don't know that they're where they're supposed to be. The person who knows that they're the called, that person knows where their place is. They don't need to have somebody calling to them because they know where. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's very important that it says the called there, according to his purpose. The called or being called are different. Now, when we are calling the world, when we are sitting here bringing the gospel to the world, what we are doing is we are calling to people that don't know who they are. And so all things for them are not working together for the good. But when you realize that you are the called, you know your place. You know who you are. You know that you're the seed of Abraham. You know that you have the blessing of Abraham. You know that everything you touch should prosper. And if it doesn't, then it's not God, praise the Lord, and you need to find out what it is. But you know something that the world doesn't know. The problem is the church, by and large, doesn't know anything different than what the world knows. The world or the church so often is acting like the world. And I'm not saying that people aren't saved, but I mean, there's an awful lot of denominational garbage out there, and now it's gotten into our camps too. That idea that, oh, it's just, this is the way that it is, and that God, blah, 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 all this stuff. Listen, let's stop following the rules of man. Let's just look back at what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that we are heirs according to the promise, and that all nations should be blessed by us. Now start looking at your life and say to yourself, self, does my life look like that all nations will be blessed by me? But when I look at my life, do I look at my life and think, man, if I just walk out into that, if I walk out into that world, it's going to be blessed just because I'm there. Do you know this town is blessed just because we're here? The people in this town don't even know it. Things are going to happen in this town. Things are going to happen in Corey. Things are going to happen anywhere. People know who they are. Things are going to happen that change that town. They're not even going to know why it happens. But they're blessed because we're there. Amen? See, somebody has to know that. In fact, that's one of the driving things that gets me to want you. You realize I've been stirred so much lately, not just for Corey, but for other towns. Man, I've been so stirred lately thinking, wait, especially when I hear things like, you know, like Reverend Christopher Alum, if you got to go up there and see him, praise the Lord. I mean, man, started over 400 churches. I'm sitting there thinking, what do we do? A lot of times we just sit around in our little group and we're just, oh, if we get by, we're good enough. And, you know, we'll just have our church, our small local church in a small town, you know. But no, we're supposed to affect the world. We're supposed to change the world. I don't care if you're in Mayville, New York, Jamestown, New York, or if you're in Buffalo, New York. I don't care where you're at. You're supposed to change the world. The world is supposed to be blessed through you. Praise the Lord. You didn't even know that. You didn't even know that your little job that just pays you barely above minimum wage. You don't even know that God wants to use you. Praise the Lord, to change the whole course of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. You know how he does that? When you sow. When you sow of yourself, when you sow of your time, when you say, well, how about this? When you come to church, this is sowing too. You come to church and you don't just come because, you know, you come because you know you got to be there and because it blesses you, but you didn't just show up because of you. You showed up because of the person that sits next to you. You showed up because of the person that sits behind you. You showed up because of the person that sits in front of you. And you come excited, you come stirred, knowing that the things of God are going to change your life and other people's lives. Listen, that's someone who's sowing seed. You know what happens when you sow seed? When you sow seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. It's something that means it's going to happen. And you know where seed is sown? You know where seed grows? Where it's sown. But see, people are so often, they're trying to sow seed. They're trying to sow seed to get something. And that's completely opposite of what God has called you to be. If you do something to get something, you are out of the will of God. If you do something to get something, you are out of the will of God. I mean, get something for yourself. If you sow in an offering so you get back, you're out of the will of God. You're not sowing with the right heart. The right heart is, I'm going to sow into an offering. This is a real way to sow. And this is where this message is based out of, this idea. You go up to somebody, it's on your heart to bless them. Praise the Lord. And maybe you don't, and this has actually happened to me. I was taught this by the Lord because of what was happening to me. There was these people that I knew that I had to sow into. And sowing into them, I knew that there are people that it's time that they should be blessed. They're further along in life. They've been serving God faithfully. They're wonderful people in the Lord. They love people. They want to help anybody. Praise the Lord. And and every time I'm around them, the same thing. My heart just like, they need to be walking in abundance that they're not walking into. And so often it's on my heart to actually sow into them, give them money. And I said this to them recently when I sowed into them. I said, listen, I said, what I'm giving you can't supply what God has for you. It's not everything. But I sow this for this purpose. I sow this believing that what I'm giving you is seed. And that when I plant that seed into your ground, because you're the ground that I'm planting into, that seed is going to produce a harvest in your life. So that's a different way of thinking about it. That seed is going to produce a harvest in your life. I'm not sowing it so it produces a harvest in my life. I'm sowing it because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a sower, praise the Lord, because I'm called by my God. And so I'm sowing into your life to produce a harvest in your life, not my life. Praise the Lord. So many people are sowing to produce a harvest in their own life, and it's backwards. That ain't God. God didn't sow just to produce a harvest in his life. He sowed to produce a harvest in the world, amen? He sowed his son to produce more of his son. There, where it was at. He didn't want him. He didn't do it to have him in heaven. He wanted more Jesuses on the earth. But unless the seed dies, we know this principle, unless the seed dies, praise the Lord, it doesn't become something better, bigger. And so the seed had to die. And the same thing with you. When you sow, you sacrifice that seed. You get rid of it. You're not going to have that anymore. If you sow a $10 bill into somebody's life, you don't have that $10 bill anymore. It doesn't belong to you. You've put it out there, and you need to put it out there like it's never coming back to you. And what I mean by that is not believing that it's never going to, but you need to put it out there not caring whether or not it does. I'm putting it out there because I want to sow seed into this place. And then that place where I've sowed, this is why I've told people, you want people all the time, they talk about wanting, Lord, bless me so I can pay off the church. He's blessed you, pay off the church. You know how to do it? You take that dollar, if that's all you got, and you put it in the offering, and you say, Lord, as I put this in there, I believe you that the church gets paid for. But see, if you never put that dollar, if you never put anything towards that, never use your faith saying, Lord, I believe you to pay this stuff, it's never going to happen. That's why it doesn't happen. See, you don't have to have some great amount to be able to do great things. You just need to have faith with what you got. Jesus said, be faithful with what you got and watch more come. How do you do it? You take what you got, whatever it is, and you start doing something with it. Maybe it's your talent. Maybe you don't have anything else, and you just have you have an ability in a certain area. So you say, Lord, I'm going to sow this into this person's life, or I'm going to sow this into this person's life, or I'm going to sow this in the church. I'm going to sow this wherever I'm going to sow, wherever I can, as often as you showed me, because I want to produce harvest. Listen, we should go and leave harvest everywhere we go. Harvest we never touch. I said, we should go and leave harvest we never touch. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When was the last time the church got excited about that? People are trying to figure out the prosperity message. I want to know how to get bigger for me. I want to know what I can believe for. God didn't tell you to believe for you. He said to believe for others. I'll take care of you. See, God has already decided what's yours. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has already decided everything that belongs to us. The Holy Spirit's job is to tell us, when we hear him, to tell us what God's already provided for you. Do you know that if God does not have a $10 million mansion in Beverly Hills, if he has never provided that for you, you can use your faith all day long. He ain't going to provide it. Why? Because it's not for you. Now, God has things. Get this. This is a whole other thing. Man, I'm getting into some good stuff here, and I didn't think I was going to. Praise the Lord. God is going to bless you with things that bless you. And when you bless others, you need to bless others with things that bless them. Some people, see, people get this, they think that they're sowing because they bring their broken weed whacker and put it in the church garage sale. That isn't a blessing. Don't bring your junk to the house of the Lord and say, here, I want you blessed because I just don't have room for it anymore. That's really what they're doing. If you got junk, throw it away. Praise the Lord. I've seen this before. I use the weed whackers because it actually happened. The youth group in Jamestown, this was years ago, was going to have a yard sale. And so they asked for any donations. They were just trying to raise money. Do you know what happened? There was three weed whackers that came into that place, and not one of them ran. Nobody, you know what they had to do? They had to throw them out. They were the garbage man for the person, and the person thought they were doing something good because they sowed it. Listen, if somebody doesn't like, my wife doesn't eat meat. You are not going to bless her by bringing her a steak. I don't care if it's the most perfect cut of meat. You paid top dollar for it. You went out. You saved for a year just to be able to buy that steak and give it to you. You ain't going to bless her anymore. Praise the Lord. Than a pile of vomit. Why? She doesn't like it. I'm just using this example because it's easy. Praise the Lord. But see, people think that don't look to be a blessing to people by what you want or what you like. Look to be a blessing to people by what that would bless them. Paul said, I become all things to all people. What was he talking about? He was saying, well, I learn about people. I take time to invest in people. And I learn what would make, when I want to bless somebody, what makes them tick? Listen, how do you witness to people? Pick one person to witness to. And then find out what makes them tick. Invest in them. Love them. Find out what they like. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, people think that they're giving all the time and they're not giving at all. All they're doing is they're just going through motions. We are a blessing to the earth. And so everything we do, man, how much, it's not to get conceited and walk around like, oh, look at me, I'm a blessing. You don't walk up to people on the street and say, hey, I'm a blessing to you, and you don't even know it. They're not going to like that. That doesn't bless them. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean you can't walk up to somebody knowing that you're a blessing to them. Praise the Lord. Listen, I showed up here today, tonight, and I'm just going to say something. It's going to sound really conceited and real arrogant. But I came here tonight knowing that I was a blessing to you. I came here tonight knowing that the message that I was going to bring will change your life and be a blessing to you. Why? Because I'm so wonderful? No, because I know how good my God is. Praise the Lord. Glory, there's nothing in of myself that I would think it would be desirable for any to want to connect to. But God in me. But God in me, that seed in me, the direction that God leads me is perfect for the people He's connected to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said the things that God called me to is perfect for the people that He's called to me. And so the people that He's called to you, you look around and just look at the other people in this room. All these people are blessed because you're there. Praise the Lord. And you're blessed that all of them are here. And us moving together with the knowledge that we're a blessing to this area, that we can change this area or anything that God calls us to. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know something? When we get direction from the Lord through our leadership, that's time for us to sit there and go, all right, here we go. Woo! This is what we can do. Amen. There's opportunity to raise. Well, we can start increasing the area. The byproduct of all this is God takes care of you and gives you those things that you have or want. But see, what happens is the backwards thing that's happened is that people are so focused on themselves that they forget about what they're called to do. And that's right where the devil wants them. Praise the Lord. Or, you know, having a Holy Ghost meeting, having the Holy Ghost meetings, and running around, all that stuff, it's great. But if we're not saving the world, if we're not doing things, if we're not reaching the world, it's not worth anything. It's not worth a hill of beans to have a meeting and just have the same 10 people in the meeting all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why things don't change. When people want change, glory to God. What would happen if God's people made it their purpose? Remember, the called according to His purpose. What would happen if God's people made it their purpose to be a blessing? What would happen if you said, I'm going to purpose to be a blessing as much as I possibly can to the entire world? Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. That's right, sister. Not just people getting saved, but people get saved and they get changed. Because I love the idea that people get saved, but I love it even more when they prosper. Man, I love it even more when all of a sudden somebody who spent their life in poverty gets to find out they don't have to live in poverty. I love it. Sets them free. Sets them free to do all kinds of things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When they see us, they see God. Instead of when they see us, they see that we're troubled. So many people are the troubled and they're not the called. Are you the called in your life or are you the troubled? How does your life look? How do people look at you? When the world, anybody that you're believing for, listen, just there's all in every one of us, there's someone we know, praise the Lord, that we would like to see come to church and get changed, isn't there? Amen. When they look at you, what do they see? That's the question. I can't answer that question. I see you here, you're smiling, you're all happy, great, praise the Lord, excited to see you. But I don't know how you look out there. But listen, if you're out there and you're miserable all the time, ain't nobody gonna want to be you. Do people want to be you? Do they want what you got? Amen? Are you the called or are you the troubled? Amen? You want things to work out for you. How about being called instead of being the troubled? If you want things to work out, then you act like the called and not the troubled, and things will work out. But I'm going to tell you something. As a matter of fact, if you are the troubled, nothing is ever going to work out. It's just not going to. God's power is not going to meet you. God's power ain't changing nothing if you're the trouble. Well, how do I not get the how do I not be troubled, Pastor? By getting in the Word, by believing the Word, by trusting God, by saying, you know what? No, I've had enough of this life. I know that my God is good. I know that this is what it basically all comes down to, is this very basic notion that either God is good or He's not good. And if He's not good, man, you're up the creek without a paddle. Praise the Lord. But if He's good, then we need to get in the right flow of that creek instead of just hanging out on the over on the shore, you know, kind of stuck in the weeds. No, we need to get out in the flow where God's moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Before, listen, people, we have to get this. Before the world can see it, we have to see it. And if we don't see it, the world will never see it. It will never see it. It will never understand. The world will never understand This is why this garbage religion that teaches that God gives and takes away and stuff like that, the world doesn't understand. That's why people aren't flocking to it. That's why churches are drying up and dying, because that's the crap that they're teaching. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the garbage that's coming out of the pulpit. And so that's what people are believing, and that's why they're drying up and dying. That's why you have all kinds of churches. Listen, when you see three denominations come together and start sharing a building, or two denominations believe totally different things, come together and start sharing a building because, well, we just don't have enough to support either one of us. So that's a dying church. That means that somebody ain't preaching the word. It means somebody isn't living in faith. It means somebody ain't doing it. Because if it's dying, praise the Lord, it ain't God. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Being good to people isn't about what you want to give, but when you give based on what blesses them, that's being good to people. Look what blesses them. Figure out what blesses somebody. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I want to take you to 1 Timothy 5:8. I just got to do this a little bit faster. Oh, man. Well, let's just bring 1 Timothy 5:8 up. I'm not going to have you flip there because I got more I want to get into here. And I don't have much time left. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, can we pull it up? Is that possible? I don't know if we can. Yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, when it talks about his own, it doesn't just mean your own house, like in the sense of your own home, but it means the whole church, what God has called you to. What's your own? If you don't look at the church as your people, if you don't look at the people sitting in here as your brothers and sisters, then you're off. You can't get blessed by God. These are your brothers and sisters, like them or not. These are your brothers and sisters. So we got to find a way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We got to find a way to be a blessing in that place. We got to find a way. And it says, if someone doesn't provide for his own, and especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. People who don't see the importance of coming together and providing in the local church, being something in the local church, they're worse than unbelievers. And yet all these people, they want to come in. And, you know, there's people I thought, and listen, people go through stuff and people are at different levels. I understand that. But there's people that were once faithful to the church. Now they come here sporadically once in a while, just when they, when they finally drag themselves. Those are people that they're worse than unbelievers. They don't care. Because you know why? Because if they cared, they would have been here at least just to check up on you. How do you care about somebody else that's sitting in these seats if you don't think you even need to see them but maybe once every once in a while? Come in late, leave early, don't ever want to, you never want to talk to anybody. Praise the Lord. Listen, that's not somebody that cares for their own household. I'm just telling you the truth. But this is the way people live. Like, well, I'll be out there. Yes, taking care of your own. Of course, this applies to your own family. But you got to understand that if 1 Timothy is written to a pastor talking to about how the church needs to be. Glory to God. So, yes, this applies to your own family. But it certainly applies to the household of the church. Look how the early church lived. Like, listen, people want the things that are happening in the early church. And yet, they get stirred up if we do one thing that they don't seem to like. Play one song that they don't like, or play it too loud, or something like that. Whatever. People get so bent about things that don't even matter. Well, I got to have my opinion because my opinion matters. I'm American after all. I got to be able to have a say in this. You ain't got to have a say in nothing. Listen, your say didn't necessarily work for your own life, so why do you want to bring it in the church and ruin that too? I'm just telling you the truth. When is my opinion? When I lived my life by my opinion. And then I've been in this position, and then I wanted to bring it into the church. And said, well, you should do it this way. Well, yeah, nothing else you do, Jeff, has been working. So why do I want to do it your way? You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God, hallelujah. But we're Americans, darn it. Hallelujah. We must start in our own backyards. The called according to purpose. Praise the Lord. Purpose. What if you purposed first for someone else? What if your purpose in your life was for someone else? What if you purposed in your heart? Mark 4:14, it says the sower sows the word. Praise the Lord. In other words, the sower does the word. The one who wants harvest The sower is only a person. If you sow, you're sowing because you want a harvest. It's a doer of the word, right? It starts at home, folks. Husbands and wives, we have to purpose for the other. It is not just about you. You know, one of the greatest things that the Lord has been dealing with me lately is not having preference. In little things that don't even matter. The place I sit on the couch, what I want to eat, all these things. The Lord has been dealing with me on it quite strongly. And so I find myself having to give up things sometimes just because they're not my preference. This is a good Christian way to be. It's not an easy Christian way to be, but it's a good Christian way to be. Sometimes I just can't have my preference. You have to be okay with that, especially when you're dealing with someone else. Listen, if husbands and wives lived with this heart towards each other to just be a blessing to the other one at all costs, even if it wasn't their personal preference, watch and see what the households do. Divorce would go down. Praise the Lord, I'll tell you that right now. Divorce would disappear. Because if two people just loved each other the way the Bible says to love each other, praise God, hallelujah, it would change. How about those people, those people that you meet in life, that you deal with in life, if you just, and of course, I'm not talking about like if there's abuse going on and stuff like that. You know, obviously, if somebody's being abused, they need to get out of the situation, you know. And there's other examples of it. Abuse isn't always just physical abuse, stuff like that. So, you have to weigh that. But I'll say this, that if you stay, you have to know. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be different or it won't ever change. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Galatians, I want to get to this. Galatians 1. We're going to go a few minutes over, but I think we can handle it tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What if we purpose in our hearts to be a blessing? You know, we are a blessing. The Bible calls us a blessing. But what if we purpose in our hearts to be it? I'm not just going to be called it, but I'm going to be an example of it, is what I'm saying. What if we just purpose on, I'm just going to be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing to my local church. I'm going to be a blessing to my spouse. I'm going to be a blessing to my kids. I'm going to be a blessing to my parents. I'm going to be a blessing to my neighbor. I'm going to be a blessing to my boss. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Listen, we work together. We should be working together for the same common purpose. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, that's any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So right here we see the heart of God. We see a brother or sister that's overcome in sin or overcome by they're doing something sinful. It says, you who are spiritual, restore that person. It means you don't go after trying to hammer them, knock them down, trying to find out a way that you can kick them out or remove from them. No, you go to them and you say, you go with them with the right heart, trying to help them, trying to lift them up, trying to get them to do what's right. Instead of looking at everybody, what everybody else is doing and saying, no, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it right. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's it. The Bible says if you're spiritual, you restore them, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That means you don't be part of what they're doing. Glory to God. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're the called according to his purpose, then you are going to bear one another's burdens. When somebody else can't, you're going to be showing up to do it. You're going to be there to help out. When they can't live right, when they're struggling with addiction or whatever, you're going to be the one that steps in and praise the Lord. Glory to God. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. People cry, I've seen this in the church more times, and it makes you just want to throw up. You see people fighting in the church about positions, about this or that. It's ridiculous. What is that? There's people, they're all about it. They're all about it for themselves. If you're having a hard time with somebody else, something that somebody else got called to, then you're in it for yourself. You want your own glorifying. You want to be glorified based on that. But if you see a brother or sister get exalted, get put in a place of prominence or get glorified somehow, or you hear something good said about them, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, if you do right, The proof will always prove out. If you do right, This is something I went through this in life. I went through life where people were saying all kinds of things about me that weren't true. I went through a life where people were claiming things that were just absolutely opposite of what was true. But this one thing that I knew is that if I stayed right, that through it all, I would come out on the other end. And I did. Praise the Lord. And those who were spreading the stuff, they're nothing. Those who are trying to cause trouble, they're nothing. They're all lesser. And what I mean by that is they've all been humbled. They've all been put down. They've all eaten crow because they had something to say. They were saying stuff that wasn't true. But see, we need to act right. The Bible says that when Jesus was being accused, he answered them not a word. Wow, praise God. I want to be more like that. I want to be more like that. Do you know what? Go ahead and accuse me. It's not true. But he didn't even answer them that. He didn't even say that. Amen. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught, verse 6, let him who is taught in the word or taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How do you sow? With the right heart. It's just sowing. I am sowing to increase you. Praise the Lord. I don't do this. Listen, I didn't need to be a pastor of a church to increase my life. I didn't. All I needed to do is be faithful in the church. We don't pastor a church because we want an increased life. We pastor a church to increase other people's lives. My greatest joy is when somebody overcomes a trial. My greatest joy is when somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, you preached this, I did this, and this happened. My life changed. That's my greatest joy in life. What is that? That's sowing into other people. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to look at how can I put something in somebody else's life? And when you look at life that way, God comes in because now he's happy. And he's happy with you. And God comes in and he says, you know what? Here's some more. Because you've been faithful with this a little bit, go have some more. See, that's what a person who's faithful and more is like. I love the when we were with Pastor or Dr. Matthew, Pastor Matthews, when he was here, he got really close with Dr. Lester Summerall. And if anyone knows Dr. Lester Summerall, he was a bold preacher. He was an in-your-face, like, bold preacher. I mean, he said some stuff, man. Praise the Lord. He wasn't afraid of saying it. He laid it all out there. But the man was, when he was at home, was gentle and loving. He wouldn't even eat. He would serve all his family before he would eat first. This is part of where the Lord started dealing with me about not having my own preference. If he had $10 in the bank account, he'd take it out and give it to one of his family members because he was like, it ain't going to do me any good. He's like, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, there is principles in the word of saving, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the idea was his heart was so much to bless other people that he wouldn't even keep stuff himself. He just kept putting it out. And, you know, I realized something in life. Sometimes in life, you can get to the place where you give so much that you don't even have much left behind. But is your joyful? See, that's the thing. I want my joyful in what I've done for the Lord and not being concerned with what I have as far as stuff. Because the one thing I've learned is no matter how much stuff I got, things don't change. It doesn't change who I am. Praise the Lord. Or, I mean, in a good way. But changing what does change me is doing things for the Lord. Seeing to another's prosperity. Do you know if the entire church lived this way, that the church would lack nothing, there would be no church that's not paid for? Praise the Lord. There would be no mission work that couldn't be done. And there would also be not one person in the church. That's the absolute truth. If people actually lived this way, everybody would have more than enough because that's exactly how God designed it to be. Amen? And let us not grow weary while doing good. This is so important. For in what due season we shall reap. Well, what's the due season? Due season is not just when you decided it was due. Due season is when God has decided that it's time to move. Praise the Lord. When do we move on to the next thing? When God decides it's time. When does the church building get paid off? When God decides it's time. Praise the Lord. God, you know, God could send somebody to pay it off right now. You know that? I've heard of it being done. I know people that we've been close to that things like that have happened. The Jamestown Church, the original building was given to them. And plus 30, like, no, it was given to them for $35,000, I think it was, and then somebody came in and sowed $30,000. Praise the Lord. It was free. It was given. Glory to God. That stuff can happen. But listen, God doesn't want it to just, it doesn't take any kind of faith for God to stir one person out there who is wealthy to come in and pay it off. But what it does, what does stir faith is when God stirs it in you and you bring that dollar and you say, you know what? In Jesus' name, this is going to pay off the building. $1 at a time, if that's what it takes. Now listen, if you've got $50 and you take, you know, just a penny and you throw it in there and you say, well, that's going to do it. No, sometimes you have to sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying, the idea of a dollar. But my point is that if somebody starts somewhere in faith and allows God to increase it as much as he wants, it'll get done. It'll get done quick. Praise the Lord. And then other works and then other works and other works. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially, everyone say especially, to those who are of the household of faith. The household of faith. If a man does not take care of his own household, especially his own household, he is worse than an unbeliever. And God calls it the household, he calls you and I, right here together, the household of faith. Hallelujah. The household of faith. We aren't just a household. We're the household of faith. Do you know what faith is? Faith is the power to move God's hand to obtain absolutely anything. We are that household. That's who we are. We got to live like it. We have to determine in our hearts that this is who we are. We are the household of faith, and therefore, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a blessing to the world. When I go to work, guess what? My work is going to increase just because I'm there. Praise the Lord. My work is going to increase just because I'm there. All glory to God. Hallelujah. I have to use, man, hallelujah. I got to use this example. A friend of mine, somebody, you know, was one of those people who had just a very faithful man of God. And I mean, just runs after it with everything he has. And he, one of his things is he's one of those people, man, I want to be the one to pay off the church. And he's serious. If he had the money to do it right now, he would pay off the church. Amen. He's not a member of this church, but he's, praise the Lord, of our churches. And so over the past few years, and he's made steps, he's made moves that have taken him completely out, has a family of support and everything, but it's completely looked like he was doing one thing, have nothing. And each time he got, over the course of some time, he got a few different jobs, and each time it was increased, significant increase. But one of the things is that the jobs where he went, everything, every time he went there, the job prospered. The place that he worked was prospering. And we were recently talking about this, and he was talking about his job, you know, and his job, the business that he works for now, has increased significantly since he's been there. I mean, it's a Christian business and all that thing, and so it's good stuff. But here's someone of faith who went in there, and I mean, constantly proclaiming that this is going to change, that this is going to be this is going to be great, that God is going to fill this place, and that the business is going to increase. I mean, constantly claiming this. It's just fire for God, and always doing these kinds of things, right? And so the business has grown. And we were talking about that, and at one point he was a little disheartened about something because he was getting a raise, but maybe it wasn't quite what it was and or what he wanted it to be or whatever, you know. And I said to him, because his heart really is to do good things for it, with it. It's not not just so that he can be rich. And I said to him, I said, brother, I said, wasn't your heart to pay off the church? And he said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I said, well, the business that you work at ties to your church. He's like, yeah. I said, well, guess what? By you being there, bringing your faith there, you've increased that business. They've increased, and that business didn't just increase their tithing, but they increased their giving. And guess what happened? The business keeps growing. And guess what's happening? The church is getting paid off. Why? Because somebody put faith somewhere. See, just because you didn't bring the dollar and put it in the offering. Now, there's an example of something. But see, we have to look at it right. If we know that where we go increases, praise the Lord, that it's going to bring increase to the area. Hallelujah. It's going to bring increase around us. And then it's like, see, God didn't promise that everything was just going to be right here in my pockets. But he did promise that we'll have access to way more than what we need. We'll have access to way more than is enough. But it takes people believing that God is actually true at his word. Do you look at yourself as blessed? Are you the blessed of the Lord? Are you the blessing to the nations? When you wake up in the morning, do you wake up thinking, oh, I got to drag myself in there again? Or do you wake up thinking, man, I'm about to go bless this place? When you're going, listen, there's things we don't like to do. Sometimes maybe it's a holiday get together you don't want to be at. But do you look at it like I'm gonna go there and it's gonna be miserable? And you look at it, you go there, I'm gonna be a blessing to these people. That when I show up, they're gonna see something in me and they're gonna be wanting what's on me, which is God. Amen. See, it all starts with the mindset. And when you get your mind thinking right, that's called faith. And when you start living in that faith, God starts showing up. Heaven starts backing you up. And lives will change. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Luke 6:38. We should know the scripture. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure, look at that. The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, folks, this is about increasing your own life, but if you truly want to increase in your life, what measure are you increasing others? What measure are you giving to others? Are you pouring into the bosom of others, expecting good seed there? Expecting change there? Are you sowing? Not saying when you're giving a dollar, you're not saying, Lord, increase me. But when you're giving a dollar, wherever it is, are you saying, Lord, increase the ground I'm putting this into? Produce the harvest where it's at, Father. See, because it takes a person of faith to let go of their own to say someone else. But that's what God blesses. Amen. And so if you want to be increased, use a measure that you've never used before. If you want to increase, use a measure, build yourself up to a measure that you've never even thought of before. Get things on your heart out there. Start purposing in your heart to do something different. If you don't like where you've been, if you don't like where it's at, if you want it to be different, start purposing in your heart that it'll be different. Start purposing how it's going to be different. Start purposing how you're going to make it different, not how somebody else is going to make it different, not how God's going to swoop in and make your life different, but you start purposing how you are going to take what God has given you and put on the inside of you and go out there and change the world. And I guarantee you, you're going to see change. Amen.